Hi, this is Sassy Strawberry, reading Thousand Autumns, 千秋 by 孟西石 Chapter 101 Translation by myself, and edited by Yuki Ryu and Happy Best. The newcomer was dressed in plain clothing. Her face was elegant and ethereal, and her raven black hair was coiled into a tall bun, tightly held in place by strings of jade. It was not only Shen Qiao whose attention was drawn to her. The majority of the people present were also enraptured by the sudden appearance of this mysterious woman. They craned their heads to look in her direction. She carried a long sword on her back and her eyes were piercing with an air of gentle refinement. Her movements did not bear the slightest trace of femininity, nor was she in the least bit nervous from the scrutiny of the crowd. Instead, she retained a composed and self-assured stance. As she followed the disciple of Chun Yang Guan, her gaze swept across the gathered audience once. When she saw Shen Qiao, her expression could not contain her extreme shock, which then changed to an expression of surprise and joy. Without waiting for the guiding disciple to lead her to Yi Bi Chen's presence, she lifted herself to the tip of her toes and flitted over to Shen Qiao's side. Shen Qiao had also stood up, as both pairs of eyes stared at one another. The young girl darted over like a swallow returning to its nest and embraced him tightly. The onlookers' gazes suddenly turned strange.
Zhang Jiao Shi Xiong!
The girl was unaware of what the people around her were thinking. Neither did she care. Only after a long time, and when Shen Qiao had gently patted her back, did she loosen her hold on him. Upon hearing this form of address, Zhao Qun immediately knew that the other person must be a disciple of Xuan Dushan, as well as Shen Qiao's Shi Mei. Sure enough, Shen Qiao took her hand and introduced her to Zhao Qun. "This is my Wu Shi Mei, Gu Hengbo, and this is Zhao Zongzhu of Bixiazong." Zhao Qun had once heard that Qi Fengge had five disciples: Tan Yuanchun, Shen Qiao, Yu Ai, Yun Ying, and Gu Hengbo. There was only one female disciple amongst them, which would naturally have to be the same Gu Hengbo that was standing before her. Upon taking a closer look at her face, she appeared as if she was carved out of icy jade, much like an immortal shrouded in clouds, bearing an impressive figure. She was indeed a lively and refined beauty. Gu Hengbo and Zhao Qing looked at one another. Gu Hengbo laughed and said, "I've long heard of Zhao Zongzhu's illustrious name, though I did not expect that I would be meeting you here. Wu Niang rejoices at this extremely good fortune." She was obviously cognizant of proper etiquette. It was just that she got too excited when she saw Shen Qiao, and for a moment she couldn't be bothered with everyone else. After the two of them had exchanged their greetings, Shen Qiao asked, "Wu Niang, why are you here? Did Yu Ai come as well?" Gu Hengbo shook her head, saying, "He didn't. We had a big quarrel. It's already been a while since I left the mountain, and I have no intentions to return." Shen Qiao frowned slightly and asked, "What happened? Did he mistreat you?" Gu Hengbo pursed her lips in a smile as if it was no matter to her. "It's a long story. It would be better if we talk about it later. I heard that the sword trial conference would be held here, so I came up the mountain to have a look. But I wasn't expecting that I would see Zhang Jiao Shi Xiong here." Upon hearing her continue to call him Zhang Jiao Shi Xiong, Shen Qiao felt greatly moved deep in his heart. "No matter. I will take you to meet Yi Guan Zhu first." Gu Hengbo naturally had no issue with this. She had entered Xuan Dushan somewhat late, and the age difference between herself and her elder martial brothers was significantly large. As the sect leader, Qi Fengge had numerous duties and matters to attend to. Hence, he was not always available to personally instruct his disciples on a daily basis. Gu Hengbo's education in martial arts had mostly been imparted by Tan Yuanchun and Shen Qiao. And between the two, it was Shen Qiao who had spent more time with her. This was why Gu Hengbo deeply respected her Shi Xiong like both an elder brother and a father, and she admired him deeply. They shared a relationship that was much closer than with others in the sect. Gu Hengbo's appearance was so stunningly beautiful that many young disciples could not help but fixate their gazes on her figure. The crowd noticed the intimacy that she and Shen Qiao shared, which inevitably led to some misunderstandings, and Yi Bichen was no exception. Upon hearing Shen Qiao's explanation, he was surprised. Qi Fengge was truly Yi Dai Tian Jiao. Even his disciples are no less phenomenal. A person is truly blessed to be able to meet two of them at this time. When I recall Qi Zhangjiao's graceful demeanor and elegant bearing back then, I cannot help but feel extremely heartbroken. He was a person with exquisitely adept social skills. When he saw Gu Hengbo arrive here on her own, he did not ask for the reason why. After a few words of greeting, he knew that Shen Qiao and Gu Hengbo had reunited after a long separation and thus would have a lot to talk about. He then had someone add another seat besides Shen Qiao so that the two martial siblings may be able to continue their conversation. Shen Qiao and Gu Hengbo went to their seats. Upon seeing that the latter seemed absent-minded and easily distracted, he couldn't help but wonder, "Wu Niang, what happened to you?" Gu Hengbo pulled her thoughts back to the present and shook her head. "It's nothing. Asiong must have been through a lot these past few days, I presume? When I wandered outside, I often heard news of you. I can only blame myself for my negligence. It was my inability to see through that piece of work, Yu Ai, when I was still on Xuandu Shan that led to Asiong having to undergo so much suffering." Shen Qiao replied, "It was not only you, but also I, who was kept completely in the dark, Meng Zai Gu Li, at the time. The matter is already past, and there is no sense or meaning to harbor regrets about it now. But how did you and Yu Ai come to quarrel so heatedly?" Gu Hengbo replied, "After you fell off the cliff, Xuan Du Shan was like a flock of dragons without a leader, Qun Long Wu Shou, and yet it did not fall into chaos. Instead, Yu Ai was able to quickly stabilize the situation under his leadership. He made sure everything was well organized and placed in the proper order. Several of the elders then brought up the issue that your survival was yet unknown, but that Xuan Du Shan could not be without leadership for even a day. Hence they proposed that Yu Ai take up the position of Zhang Jiao. It is fortunate that Xuan Du Shan did not descend into chaos and disorder." This was the first time that Shen Qiao had heard about how things had progressed from the mouth of a Xuan Du Shan disciple. Even today, he was not cognizant of any inside information about what was happening. Gu Hengbo's incessant and lively chatter made Shen Qiao feel as if the clouds and mist were gradually lifting. Gu Hengbo replied, "At the time, I was ordered to stay behind and watch over Xuan Du Shan, hence I was not able to pay witness to your fight. When I heard of the news, it was as if a thunderbolt had struck from the blue sky of a sunny day. I was extremely bewildered and at a loss on what to do. But when I thought about it more carefully, I felt that something was unusual and that there must be malicious forces causing trouble from behind the scenes. Some of us, including the majority of Xuan Du Shan's disciples, were extremely saddened to hear that Zhang Jiao Shixiong had met with this unfortunate setback. It was only Yu Ai who acted with the vigor of thunder and determination of the wind. Even though he bore a grieving expression on his face, there were still many things that remained suspicious. After this incident had passed, you later returned to Xuan Du Shan, yet Yu Ai was unable to persuade you to stay. He said that you had colluded with the demonic sects. Da Shixiong was also present at the time, but I was not there. Later on, I noticed that Da Shixiong appeared to be preoccupied and anxious, and was behaving extremely out of sorts, so I found an opportunity to ask him about it. He hemmed and hawed, but refused to tell me the truth. Tan Yuan Chun has always been indecisive and hesitant, with a wavering temperament. Amongst all the disciples of Mount Xuan Du, he was particularly known for being so soft-hearted that he would never risk offending anyone. Lao Haoren, while he was sympathetic towards Shen Qiao, He was also unable to take decisive action against Yu Ai. There was nothing unusual about his behavior. Gu Hengbo continued with her story. One time, I overheard his conversation with Chai Zhanglao. From what they were saying, it sounded as if he had already expected the outcome of your battle with Kun Ye. This was when I became certain that there was definitely more to this matter and that Yu Ai must have been hiding something from us. It was only later, when Xuan Dushan's collaboration with the Tu Jue was made public, that I finally could no longer restrain myself and question Yu Ai. I asked him if he had colluded with the Tu Jue people and whether the severe injuries that you had sustained from your fall also had something to do with it. Xin Qiao shook his head and said, "If you ask him in such a manner, how could he admit it?" Gu Hengbo smiled bitterly and replied, "Of course he did not admit to it. On the contrary, he tried to appease me. But his consolation was only superficial. He waited until nightfall to sneak into my room intending to attack me. It was only because I found out in time that we fought and I was able to escape down the mountain. I have not returned since." Xin Qiao was silent for a moment and replied, "Although your martial arts are quite good, you are not yet Yu Ai's match. He had already taken over Xuan Dushan by then, and he was fully capable of capturing you. Yet he let you escape down the mountain. In his heart, he may still treasure the bonds that he had shared between his fellow disciples, thus showing you mercy." Gu Hengbo continued on, "Even if this is so, he caused you harm by poisoning you and causing you to fall off the cliff, resulting in you losing your martial arts. In my opinion, the minuscule bit of benevolence that he showed me is no different from a cat crying false tears of sympathy for a rat. Mao ku hao zi jia zi bei. Da shi xiong is unable to tell right from wrong and is willing to play the accomplice to his tiger, aiding and abetting his actions. I refuse to be complicit with this." Xin Qiao asked, "Then what about Yun Ying? What happened to Yun Ying?" Gu Hengbo shook her head and replied, "Before I went down the mountain, I secretly left Si Shi Xiong a letter that explained everything. I don't know if he has read it yet. Ever since I left Xuan Dushan, I have not heard any news of him." While the martial brother and sister conversed, several matches had already occurred at the other end of the arena. Although Wang Sanlang was prideful and arrogant, his martial arts were indeed remarkable and considered exceptional among the younger generation. After defeating Zhou Yexue, he won several matches in quick succession. Even Su Qiao had lost to him by a move. He was truly shining in the limelight. Gu Hengbo glanced at the arena several times and then suddenly said, "Since there are no tigers in the mountain, the monkey is the king. Shan Zhong Wu Lao Hu, Hou Zi Sheng Ba Wang. I will also go meet with him." After saying these words, she didn't wait for Xin Qiao to stop her. Instead, she proceeded to enter the ring and ran towards the other party. Her appearance was already extremely dazzling to the eye, and with her suddenly appearing out of nowhere, she had the audience's undivided attention. Wang Sanlang had an air of extreme arrogance and superiority towards everyone around him. But now, as he stood before Gu Hengbo, he looked flattered and overjoyed from her unexpected favor, Shou Chong Ruo Jing, and even displayed the modesty that one would expect from a descendant of an aristocratic family as he said, "Sabers and swords have no eyes. Dao Jian Wu Yin, I'm afraid of causing injury to the Xianzi, such as yourself. So why don't we shake hands and make peace in the matter?" Gu Hengbo replied in an indifferent tone, "So it turns out that Ge Xia entered the arena not to spar with others, but to simply watch people order dishes and treat them in a discriminatory manner. 看人下菜碟来了? Wang Sanlang had never expected the beauty to speak in such a harsh and sharp tongue manner. He could not help but feel insulted. "Of course not." Gu Hengbo drew her sword and said, "Then, please make your move." Zhao Qiying watched the two fight and exclaimed in surprise, This 师妹 of yours is truly magnificent and of outstanding talent. 不同凡响. The saying that renowned teachers produce brilliant students, 名师出高徒, indeed rings true. She comes from the same lineage and traditions as 沈道长, and are extremely complimentary with one another. 赵宗竹 is too generous with her praise. 沈乔 replied modestly. Deep down, however, he thought that 五娘 was not usually this impulsive. This current behavior seemed quite strange. 王三郎 was naturally no match for 顾恒波, and she sent the long sword in his hand flying. The sword then fell from mid-air, with half of the blade planted into the ground. The 纯阳观's disciples loudly exclaimed, 玄都山的顾恒波 wins against 会稽王卓. It was only now that everyone was made aware of Gu Hengbo's identity. Wang Sanlang's face also appeared somewhat pale and lacking in vitality, not only because he had been defeated, but also because he now knew that his opponent was another disciple of Qi Fengge. He felt lost and was unable to come to his senses for some time. Gu Hengbo sheathed her sword and stood still. Her expression did not show any happiness. Instead of returning to Shen Qiao's side, she instead walked towards Yun Zixiao, who was currently immersed in hurriedly taking notes. You only paid close attention to Wang Sanlang since a while ago. Now that I have defeated him, why aren't you even sparing me another glance? Yun Zixiao didn't even raise her head. Her pen moved across the paper like a wandering dragon or roaming snake. Your victory over him, isn't it already to be expected without room for doubt? Gu Hengbo sneered and spoke. The people of Fang Zhangzhou's Liu Li Gong truly put on such big airs. Leaving without so much as a farewell is one thing, but upon meeting once again, you pretend that we do not know each other? Could it be that I, Gu Hengbo, am so disgraceful that you feel too ashamed to acknowledge me? There was no one in the vicinity of Yun Zixiao. In order not to affect her recording process, Yi Bichen specifically had everyone vacate a boundary of space around her. The two were not speaking in a loud voice, hence the bystanders would not be able to hear them clearly. But one could easily tell that they were acquainted by looking at their interactions. It was only that no one knew why the way they talked to each other seemed rather disgruntled. At this time, the results of two other matches had also been decided. The winners were Wang Erlang and Chao Yu, a disciple of Zhixia Jianpai. Wang Erlang and Chao Yu exchanged blows. Swordsmanship was prevalent and widely popular these days. More than half of the Jianghu were sword practitioners. These two were no exception. The Zhixia Jianpai was neither large nor famous, but since Chao Yu was able to stand out amongst the crowd with his skills and talent alone, the sect must have its own strengths and advantages. Wang Erlang possessed an extremely oppressive and indomitable spirit, as well as superb swordsmanship skills. However, after 200 moves were exchanged, he still could not best the other party, ultimately losing to Chao Yu. Wang Erlang refused to take his hand off his sword, as if he had been shocked by the nei li of his opponent. He retreated a few steps and almost slumped to the ground. Chao Yu possessed a gracious demeanor. He flew over to help the other person stand in order to save him some embarrassment. Although Wang Erlang was reluctant, he was self-aware enough to recognize that there will always be talents above other talents. Ren wai you ren. Tian wai you tian. He arched his hands and left the field in a sullen manner. The Kuai Ji Wang brothers had arrived in a fierce manner with great momentum, Lai Shi Xiong Xiong, but in the end, they had to reluctantly return with clipped feathers. There was truly a world of difference between their behavior now and their behavior earlier in the Great Hall, where they displayed both arrogance and sharp sight. In the Jianghu, where the strong are venerated, these fledglings are clearly not yet accustomed to the concept of might makes right. Even though they had the backing of the Wang family, it would still ultimately boil down to one's own martial arts to earn a person the right to speak up. If their martial arts were not up to par, Even if the emperor himself came to support them, they would still not be able to raise their heads with pride. Wang Erlang looked at the pallid expression of his brother, who was standing next to him. Then in the distance, he saw Shen Xiao sitting stable and immovable as a mountain, relaxed and at ease. An irrepressible impulse arose from within his heart. He wanted to ask Shen Xiao, how did he, with so many eyes watching, manage to endure that feeling of shame and humiliation when he had lost to Kun Ye? Apart from the Wang brothers, everyone else's attention had already quickly moved elsewhere. Chao Yu did not look for Gu Hengbo. Instead, he arched his hand in the direction of the disciples of Chun Yangguan, and then said in a resonant and clear voice, Chao Yu of the Chixia Jianpai wonders if he would be fortunate enough to seek advice by sparring with Li Shaoxia. This was an open challenge directed at Li Qingyu. The crowd, upon hearing his words, all looked towards Li Qingyu with excited gazes. Chao Yu's goals were clear and unambiguous. Although Gu Hengbo is young, as Qi Fengge's disciple, she can be considered to be of the same generation as Shen Qiao. Strictly speaking, she could also be considered as Yi Bichen's peer. Gu Hengbo rarely made an appearance in the Jianghu, hence only a few people knew of her. Even if he defeated her, there would not be many people who would look upon it with admiration. However, it was an entirely different matter with Li Qingyu. Currently, Li Qingyu is considered to be preeminent among the younger generation in Jianghu. The time when he went to Xuandushan and lost to Yu Ai by a single move was something everyone had already heard of. Then later, at the Su residence, this same person had fought against Duan Wenyang, Hu Lu Gu's disciple as well as a Tujue master, and had also lost to him by only a narrow margin. Duan Wenyang was ranked among the world's top 10 martial arts experts. From this, one could infer that while Li Qingyu's martial arts are currently below that of the top 10, the gap between them was not too great to be insurmountable. Having been called by name to accept the challenge in the form of a duel, Li Qingyu naturally did not have any reason to decline. He picked up his sword, slowly rose to his feet, and walked out towards the crowd. He said to Chao Yu, your swordsmanship is indeed formidable, but you would not be able to defeat me within 100 moves. Even though Chao Yu possessed an extremely good level of restraint, upon hearing such words, he couldn't help but reveal some measure of indignation. I respect Li Shaoxia's superb swordsmanship, but aren't your words a little too much?
His words are not incorrect. You are truly no match for him. Many things can already be seen and understood without needing to compete against one another. It's only for the sake of preserving your minzi that Yi Guanzhu will not carelessly speak against you. You should exercise some self-awareness.
A voice tinged with laughter suddenly resounded across the field. The voice was enchanting and full of perennial charm, causing one to feel as if a numbness was seeping into their bones. Everyone looked towards where the sound was coming from and saw a woman walking up the stone-carved steps of the mountain. She possessed a bearing that was dignified as a lotus, with a demeanor and appearance of a beautiful and carefree fairy. Her words and voice brought with it some measure of teasing and frivolity, completely contrasted with her appearance. The discordance was difficult to reconcile, causing some people to be unable to respond for a time. This is? Zhao Qiying rarely left her mountain and was naturally unaware of the other party's identity. Shen Qiao spoke in a low tone of voice. The leader of He Huanzong, Yun Xiuxiu. Zhao Qiying was slightly shaken at this. Evidently, she was familiar enough with the name and the reputation that said name holds that it struck her ears like reverberating thunder. It was at this time that Yi Bichen also rose up to speak.
Yun Zongzhu greatly honors this occasion with her presence. This humble Taoist reception was lacking. Please forgive us for this.
As soon as Yi Bicheng disclosed the other person's identity, many people's faces paled greatly. All the demonic sects are well known and carry a notorious reputation, but had it been either the Huan Yue Zong or Fa Jing Zong who had arrived, the response of the crowd may not have been quite so dramatic. They only reacted the way they did precisely because it was He Huan Zong, whose members practiced a dual cultivation method of plucking yin to supplement yang, cai yin bu yang, a practice which had taken an unknown number of hapless lives. Due to their sect's power and influence, no one dared provoke them nor make an enemy of them. As of this moment, whenever He Huan Zong is mentioned, there are only people who fear them, whereas the He Huan Zong had no reason to be afraid of others. Yun Xiuxiu smiled in a charming and pleasant manner.
Those who have offended out of ignorance are not to be blamed. Since the Sword Realm Conference is open to all under heaven, Yi Guanzhu would surely not be unwelcoming towards my presence.
The one who came did not bear good intentions, and those who harbored good intentions did not come. Lai zhe bu shan, shan zhe bu lai. Behind her were several of her disciples. Many of them were well known within the He Huan Zong and easily recognized by people of the Jianghu. Yi Bicheng slowly said,
"All who come are guests. Lai zhe shi ke. Thus all are naturally welcome."
Yun Xiuxiu replied with a laugh,
"Excellent! There are quite a few acquaintances present here today. Nu Jia coincidentally happened to be within the vicinity and had heard that there were some people who felt that our He Huan Zong was too tyrannical and aggressive and that they planned to unite against us. I wondered whether there was some truth in the matter. Yi Guanzhu, what do you have to say about this?"
If Yi Bicheng spoke the truth, he would definitely fall into the other's trap. If he were to deny it, however, it would seem as if he was someone who was too easily cowed. By then, the others would definitely be questioning his competence. It was evident from the other person's actions that she was here to stir up trouble by trashing their territory. Lai zha chang zi. Upon hearing these words, many people's faces revealed anger and wrathful dissatisfaction. However, they did not dare speak up in fear of He Huan Zong's power and influence. It was at this moment someone began to speak. "This matter does not require Yi Guanzhu's response. This humble Taoist can reply on his behalf. Does Yun Zongzhu speak her words out of a guilty conscience? Is it possible that you also feel that He Huan Zong has been acting out of line and you fear attracting the wrath of the crowd and igniting uncontrollable fires on the vast prairies? Is this why you have made haste in coming up the mountain? To extinguish the fire?" The person's voice was calm and gentle, with a sense of reassurance. It did not exhibit the slightest trace of aggression nor oppression. Yi Bicheng is clearly aware of his status as the host of the Sword Trial Conference and as the Zhangmen of Chunyang Guan. It was not appropriate for him to respond. Shen Xiao speaking up at this time was not to steal the limelight, but to alleviate him from his predicament. Yi Bicheng cast a grateful glance at him. Yun Xiuxiu sneered.
"Shen Daozhang is truly fearless. You killed two elders of my He Huan Zong in quick succession. I haven't come to find you to settle the score, and instead you dare voluntarily come to me first. How peculiar! Why can't one kill the people of your He Huan Zong? It's only a shame that I wasn't there when Shen Daozhang killed them. Otherwise, I would have applauded him with great fanfare while striking the gongs and beating drums in celebration. Qiao luo da gu. If you truly want to form an alliance against He Huan Zong, then my Huan Yue Zong will also participate. And in my opinion, Shen Daozhang is the best choice for the leader of the alliance."
Yet another person interjected out of nowhere. Following the sound of this voice, a young man appeared on the stone steps with a fan in hand. And where did this exalted personage hail from? The crowd felt that their eyes were ready to pop up from all the staring. Shen Xiao felt his head beginning to throb in pain.